Ramble room.
My word. Thank God you didn't do the whole thing. I've been piercing to my ear.
I don't think I physically could. Hi, guys.
Hi. So, we watched Raise Your Voice, which we've been watching our whole lives, basically. Yeah. Well, since, I guess since 2004 when it came out.
So, practically.
So, pretty much our whole life. And my story is that Ariana, for what birthday was that? 2 years ago now?
It was for your... I'm pretty sure that was 2020. That was 2020.
So 4 years ago. Okay. So for my birthday, Ariana had this whole like compilation of different videos of friends and family wishing me happy birthday. But before all of that, she did a remake of a scene in this movie where Jason Ritter, who plays Hillary Duff's brother, Paul, he makes this DVD video for her admission to a school. And Ariana recreated the entire beginning and then basically did the whole video, because then you added clips of me like dancing and singing with Ariana in the car with the like dramatic music in the background. And it was hilarious.
Which, can I just say, I had to put my phone, like voice memo, record the music from this movie, like from the movie on playing on a TV to my phone in order to get that, because I couldn't figure out how to get it any other way, because I looked on YouTube and there's nothing.
Yeah. You mean like the score in the background?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
it was very good.
Thank you. I was actually really proud of it. And then I got Eric Von Detten to wish you happy birthday.
Yeah, he said rollerblade your way through life, which I'm sure we've told before, right?
I'm positive.
We've mentioned that on here before, but it was that video.
Yeah. Okay, so you know how for Disney movies, we have the two-sentence synopsis? This movie is not two sentences. So bear with me while I give you the synopsis. I'm going to take out actors' names because I feel like that's redundant. After her brother dies in a car accident, Terry wants to leave her small town life to attend a performing arts school in Los Angeles, but her father forbids her from going. Under the auspices of visiting an aunt, Terry leaves for LA, but now she has to prepare for the school's talent competition while also keeping her secret from her father. Meanwhile, Terry's singing partner, Jay, is harboring a secret crush. The fact that made it into the synopsis.
What the fuck? Crazy. Might as well not even do this podcast. This is a whole movie.
Merry Christmas. That's it.
Wow. Okay.
We open with a Ludwig van...
No, wait. I need to mention something before this. The studio, like, production company logos that play before this, one of them is Film Engine, and it's car headlights, which I think is hilarious, because later in this movie, as Ariana mentioned, the brother dies. And
did I mention that?
Yeah.
Oh yeah,
in the literally synopsis. Did.
You're right. That synopsis was the whole plot.
Yeah. The brother dies, and there's a shot very similar where it's two bright headlights that are hitting them. And so I find it kind of weird that their production company logo has the same headlights.
Same vibes. But yeah, that is a little silly goofy.
Mm-hmm.
But we open with a Ludwig van Beethoven quote. Music is a higher revelation than all wisdom and philosophy.
So right off the bat, doesn't School of Rock start when with you're those?
Sad and, no, wait, what song is it?
It's
Jeremiah was a bullfrog.
Okay,
bullfrog.
Wait, Ari, can I ask you something?
Yeah.
Is it School of Rock that has that whole sequence before the movie begins where the kid's going, music is so important, and do you know what I'm talking about?
Oh yeah.
Isn't it School of Rock where it's like a bunch of kids,
and it's like got like that, it's almost got the same filter as the you wouldn't steal a DVD.
Yeah.
Piracy. Why would you pirate a movie?
Yeah. Anyway,
you wouldn't kill your uncle in a fit of rage, would you? Then why are you pirating DVDs? It's a crime.
Okay. So we start off, Terry is Hillary Duff's character's name. This is the blondest Hillary
Terry Fletcher
ever gonna be.
Amen.
She's never had blonder hair than this.
Key change. Sorry.
And she's in choir. This is the last day of school. Why are they singing a number? the last day of schools for choir for me, we just sat around and hung out because we didn't have anything to rehearse.
Correct.
What are they rehearsing for?
Maybe they liked doing this song. So they were like, can we sing it one last time together? Because here's the thing about Terry Fletcher is Terry Fletcher loves choir of all sorts.
And she loves to sing.
She loves singing. I relate deeply. But the thing is that I feel like this choir is a group of people just like that.
Yeah, they all are choir
because
freaks.
Here's the other thing. It's clearly a small town. Her choir director is also the worship leader at her church.
Yeah. Well, because then they get done with class and the choir teacher's like, hey, are you going to be part of our summer choir program? And her friend Lauren's like, what? Why are you doing that all summer? And
then she's like, I'm a dork. I love it.
And she's like, I love to sing. So Lauren's her best friend, who was also the mean girl in Lizzie McGuire, the show.
Hilarious.
And then we come across
Larry?
I don't remember his name.
He looks like a Larry.
His name is Tom in Even Stevens. That's the character
he plays
in that.
What's his name?
I don't know, but he gives her concert tickets, which we'll find out what they are later. And then we meet her brother. I should clarify, Terry's brother, Paul.
Oh.
Played by Jason Ritter.
Genuinely
the best character, and it's so unbelievable because he's got like, what, 10 minutes of screen time?
Yeah.
Maybe less.
Much like Beetlejuice, 17 minutes of screen time, main character.
Yeah. He makes such a difference. Like, he's just such a good actor, too. You can just tell he's levels above the rest.
And you just, like, look at him. And here's the thing. This is my favorite Hilary Duff movie. I know that's crazy.
I
love Cinderella Story. I probably watch Cinderella Story more. But this one, like,
pulls
on my, like, when I need to cry, I will pull this movie out.
Yeah.
When I'm like, man, I haven't cried in a while.
It's a good emotional
movie. Raise your voice.
Mm-hmm.
I remember watching this with mom. Mom was like, I just want to watch
this.
I just want to watch like a happy movie. And I went, well, Hilary Duff's in this. Totally forgetting about the whole car accident. And we're sitting there and mom and I are sobbing. And she goes, Ariana, she's like, I'm going to kill you.
So we find out her brother has just graduated.
Amazing.
So I think she's 16. So he's like a couple years older than her.
Yeah.
And they're going back to their house to celebrate his graduation, and their Aunt Nina is there. Terry is talking to her aunt about a music program that she's wanting to audition for.
Brookman Hills?
Brookhillman, I think.
Yeah.
She wants to go there. It's in Los Angeles. They're in Arizona. And
such a long drive.
Well, it is.
All right.
What do you mean?
It's not as long of a drive as, like, from us.
No, but still. It's still a long drive. It's not. Anyway. So then Paul arrives, and we can tell there's some tension. Obviously, there's tension between Terry and her father because he just said, you're not going to the music program, which I don't think we mentioned. We forgot to mention that her dad's like, I don't want Terry going to LA by herself because she's 16 years old.
And you know what?
I get it.
A valid.
Yeah. I get it.
Does that sound better?
Yeah, a little bit. Sorry if I sounded really muffled and weird. Something was wrong. I think the sound was too high on my mic.
Too low.
Oh, it was too low.
Yeah, I turned it up.
I gotcha.
Anyway, sorry.
So Paul then arrives and he's upset because his little sister's upset. So he confronts his dad.
Because he's like, he wants Terry to succeed.
He wants her to get out of here because...
Right.
This small town.
Because he also wants to get out.
Yeah.
And he knows that the only way that she's going to grow is if she's taught by people that know what they're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can tell that there's like this...
Tension,
this dynamic between father, son. They do not get along.
Yeah, they argue a lot.
Which adds to the him not wanting...
Yeah, but they both love Terry so much. Which seems is what they argue about. Also... Paul is like jabbing at his dad because his dad's like, I've seen more of the world than you have. And he goes, what, the front and back of your dad's restaurant? Which that's a low blow. But
yeah.
I get it because he's trying to hold an authority over all this knowledge that he's gained. And it's hard, especially since he's 18, ready to leave the house.
Yeah.
And like is in that stuck position.
It almost feels like the dad wants respect without giving respect back to Paul. And Paul's like, I just want you to respect me. I've done nothing but like, I've graduated high school.
Yeah.
I'm moving on. I got into college. Like, yeah. Things are good. I'm doing good things. Like, just be proud of me and respect me as a human being.
Yeah.
And the dad is like,
he's stubborn.
The dad is too, is overprotective.
He's overprotective. Yeah. So then Paul talks to Aunt Nina later and she's like, I am on your side. I understand. Then we get this like montage where it's back and forth between real life and on a camera. And Paul is videotaping Terry
singing.
And we get kind of different clips. And then we realize it's him editing a DVD like Ariana did.
Like I did. And here's the thing about this movie that I think is probably my favorite fact. Hilary Duff has a voice double that is not her at all.
It's not even that. It's that voice double is singing in a range that Hilary has and can sing.
That's what I'm saying.
It's not like she can't sing that. So why is there this voice double? And is it Haley again?
It might
I know
be.
Sometimes they voice double Haley for some reason.
I think because Hilary is couldn't busy doing something else and studio. Couldn't come back to do the VOs.
But Haley has such a significantly different voice from Hilary that I can That's you can thing. Always tell.
It's like Tom Hanks versus his brother. Like yeah. You cannot tell.
Right.
Hilary and Haley, you can
I can tell.
Tell.
Yeah.
But it's literally it'll be like the music fills the space and it takes the pain away. It'd be like if you and I just stopped.
It's so weird. And each time it happens, it takes you out of it. You're like, why is that's not Hillary's voice?
It's
especially
wild.
When you've spent your whole life listening to Hilary sing on
like
her
we have
albums. So then we realize Paul has made a DVD. He mails it.
But we realize that Terry does not. Nobody else knows.
No one knows that he's secret, made this.
It's a secret between us and Paul.
Yeah. Terry surprises Paul with 3 days grace tickets that she had at the school that she got from Tom.
Is it Tom?
That's his name in Even Stevens. Oh. I'm just calling him that.
Larry, Tom, and Jerry. Anyway.
I don't know. But Paul was grounded earlier because of the argument with the dad.
Well, and he doused a fire in gasoline.
Yeah, he was being a jackass. So he's like, I'm grounded. I can't go to the concert. Terry says,
It's
3 days grace. This is your present from me to you. And then he's like, should we sneak out the side window? And she agrees. So they leave. Aunt Nina's on the balcony laughing at them like, oh, these kids. And they're in the car. Paul's talking about how she needs to get out of here. That he's not going to stay there for the summer. He has a job lined up and he's leaving as soon as he can and then going to college. And Terry's not ecstatic about this, but she understands where he's coming from. He's telling her she needs to get out and promise him that she'll do the music program and that she won't stop and give up on her dreams just because dad wants her to stay there. And Terry also works at the dad's family restaurant.
This house is not a
So then we're at 3 Days Grace concert, which is amazing. This whole scene is great.
Literally incredible.
I love it.
This is the movie that introduced me to 3 Days Grace. Yeah. And I've never been happier in my life to love Hilary Duff.
It's such a good scene.
It's giving Simple Plan New York Minute vibes.
Yeah.
This movie, the Simple Plan is to New York Minute as 3 Days Grace is to Raise Your Voice, as Play is to Holiday in the Sun, as Sugar Ray is to...
But I will say, like, it's... I think Simple Plan with New York Minute makes more sense. I think 3 Days Grace is more unexpected, but this also was Hilary Duff's self-titled album era where she was kind of doing more rock stuff.
Yeah.
So I think her influence is reflected in the movies she was doing, like the songs she released, because this is very much her songs from that album are in this movie.
Also, can you imagine going to a 3 Days Grace concert at this time with that little of people? Also, was that the guy that everybody kisses? It's the nerd.
Oh, he's in this movie?
He's like a Where's Waldo.
Yeah, where is that guy with the glasses?
The guy with the glasses and the curly hair who kisses everyone.
So there's an awesome scene. Terry is crowd surfing because her brother helped her get up on another guy's shoulders, and then she touched the lead singer's hand. It's really cute. Then they're in this car singing after the concert.
Are you the one who has that theory?
Yeah, at first I was like, is this car scene of them singing the 3 Days Grace song, is this them before the concert?
Like they never make it to the concert.
They never made it to the concert, right. I had this whole thing in my head where I was like,
I think they bought the CD at the concert.
And then are playing it in the car, yeah. I think you're right.
But anyway. But
for some reason, my mind had always debated whether that was true or not. Which so they okay. get hit by a car.
That was crazy.
They're singing in the car and she goes, Paul, look out. And then you get the headlight shot. The headlight's going directly on Paul's side. She wakes up in a hospital and her mom is there. Rita Wilson is her mother. She does a great job in this movie. And
she does in every movie.
I know. But, you know, I'm just saying. And she's ecstatic that Terry's alive, but we find out Paul has passed away in the accident. Then, of course,
this is so sad.
Dad is overprotective. At one point, the doctor's like trying to get her to tell her what
the Richard Dreyfuss look-alike.
What day is it? What month is it? At first, she can't speak because she's still in shock. And then the doctor flashes flashlight in her eyes and she gets a flashback to the headlights.
Trauma. Triggered.
Then we get another little slow montage, which is really sad, of just everyone's sitting at various tables not being able to eat, which is so real. And Terry's having some moments of like a lack of faith, I think, where she doesn't feel like singing anymore. She's not in the church choir and she doesn't want to go to the music program, but she gets the letter of acceptance anyway. And then we find out she threw it away. The mom found it in the trash and she's like, why did you throw this out, honey? You got in. And then Nina and her mother convince her that she should go, but Terry knows that the dad will say no. So Nina comes up with a lie, right?
Yeah. Sorry, I'm fighting strong on these tears right now.
Oh, Ariana's trying not to cry, so I'll cover.
Thank you.
So Nina has a plan.
That's the worst.
I know, I'm skipping through it, but we'll talk about it. So Nina's, Aunt Nina's plan is to lie to the dad and say that Terry's going to spend the month of August in Phoenix with her aunt. The dad at first is, of course, reluctant. He's like, a month in Phoenix with you? Because, you know, Aunt Nina's not traditional. And
she doesn't own a TV.
Yeah, she doesn't own a TV.
So, how untraditional.
Eventually, they get him to agree to it. And Terry's upset because she's like, I never lied to my father. I don't want to lie to him. And mother convinces her and she's like, you have to go.
Mother.
And this is during a really sad scene because Terry visits her. She goes upstairs and sees her mom is in Paul's room putting away his clothes. And, like, it's just heartbreaking.
And Rita does such a good job.
She does. And Terry feels guilty. She feels like it's her fault because they snuck out because of her. And her mother's reassuring her, saying it's not your fault.
That isn't my fault.
Yeah, it was an accident. And eventually, she's like, Paul would have wanted you to go. He wanted you to go so badly. And Terry's like, you're right. I'm going to go. So they get ready to leave. The dad gives Terry some money.
Thank you for covering. I'm good now.
Okay, great. Then there's a great song that goes, lift off. Here I am. Here I go.
I'm out of this world. I'm about to take off. Sorry, guys. It's a Hillary Duff movie, so buckle in for a long one.
Yeah, I'm so sorry. We're going to try to get through it.
Then we meet Jay. And yeah. Can I just be honest? Oliver James, he's making pool equipment stuff now. I love him to death in What a Girl Wants.
Yeah.
This is not his finest hour.
Yeah.
Least favorite love interest for her.
Yeah, I think it's just the character sucks.
Absolutely. He's like a cheating, nasty, hot guy. I put hot in quotes.
It's called Bristol Hillman.
Yeah, I know. I saw that in the letter.
So
I was crying, so I didn't have the time to talk about it.
So Terry gets to the school, and like you said, we meet Jay, and then we meet Robin, who's Jay's girlfriend.
And Robin's best friend, who I don't know her name, but she's got red hair.
I feel like it's pink. Well, I guess it's red. Reddish pink.
It's like Kool-Aid. Pink, yeah. Red.
And then she meets them. Robin seems like a mean girl, of course, immediately. And Jay seems like he's not interested, which we'll find their story out later. Terry goes to her room.
The foreshadowing was.
I know, right? Terry goes to her room, meets her roommate.
Who was already asleep because Terry came in at 5 a.m.
Yeah, honestly, I'd be pissed off too. Because she's like, thanks for fucking waking me up. And I love that line where she says, I thought I had this place to myself, because that would have been me. I would be like, oh my God, I get this big room to myself.
Like, it's like when everybody's boarded the plane and you're sitting alone.
Yeah.
And then one person comes on and you go, you gotta be kidding. I thought I was gonna have a spacious room. Nope.
Yeah.
We meet a host of characters.
She meets her roommate, Denise. Then she goes out to the balcony and calls. She's on like a, is it a three-way call?
Well, how many phones are involved, Melissa?
5. She's on a three-way call with her parents and Aunt Nina. And they immediately botch this because they say, oh, we're watching television. And Aunt Nina says, oh, we're eating dinner, right? Yeah. And then eventually they cover it by saying, we're eating dinner while watching television.
And then the dad says, you don't own a television. And she goes, well, I caved.
Oh, his name is Simon, right?
Simon Fletcher. Simon.
Oh, no, it's a four-way call because then the
On
Rita...
a technicality, it's a three-way call because it's the same landline.
Jinx. So Simon, the dad, he buys it, I guess. And then he's like, just be careful,
hard.
Honey.
You kind of have to.
Yeah.
Like, I wouldn't... If you called me and told me you were eating dinner, I'd be going, yeah. I wouldn't think that you're flying to Hawaii.
Yeah. She hangs up, and then she looks up at the moon, and she says, well, Paul, I hope you're happy I'm here.
Can I be honest?
It's the next day.
The moon scene, though, does make me think of the perfect man.
The perfect man, yeah. The next day... Terry is at an assembly where all the students have gathered, and we get introduced to the professors / teachers of this music program and the director. And see, what's his name? Mr. Torval? What's his name? I don't remember his
John
name.
Corbett.
No.
Torval?
I think it is Mr. Torval. He's like the cool teacher, and it's John Corbett.
He wears leather vests.
He wears a leather vest and plaid and a long sleeve white tee underneath. And he kicks over his speaker, and he's
got long hair.
He swings the cello around while he's playing it.
And he counts on his fingers.
Okay, so he's like the cool teacher, and then we have, I don't know who this teacher is either. The one that's like B-flat. He's like got a Russian accent.
We got Mr. Skorofsky.
Okay, I have no idea. And then there's two other teachers who we
never see again.
Although I think the blonde lady is like the piano teacher.
There's the blonde woman. No. The piano teacher is a black woman, I'm pretty sure.
Dude, I don't remember. But these four are playing like a quartet number for the kids.
Yes.
Then the director comes up and he's like, this is going to be hard work. And there will be a showcase at the end of the month. Whoever the winner is, they get like a scholarship, right?
Yes, for the next year.
Yeah, scholarship.
Basically,
for the
come back.
That's right.
Which would suck to be like a senior.
Yeah, I don't know how that works. But it reminds me of, we have Interlochen, at least on the East Coast. Did you ever hear about Interlochen?
The name sounds familiar, but no.
Where you could basically audition.
Torvald.
Okay. You could audition for a music program. I don't know if it was the summer or
like
it was
Blue
like
Lake?
The full year. Oh, Blue Lake is like the summer. Yeah. Interlochen was you would audition and I think you'd go for the whole year.
Okay.
It was like a school, but year round instead of just the summer. Blue Lake was just a summer thing.
Gotcha.
So that's probably a better comparison. Anyway. Terry gets to class with Mr. Torvald, and again, he's cool. He's talking about how they're going to do Messiah, which I had to do every year in college, and my God. It's a lot of melismas in there, guys.
It feels good.
Yeah. Wait, you did have a note about how Hilary Duff, he's like her love interest in the How I Met Your Father
gosh.
Show, and it's so weird.
That's my thing, is like, when you go from like playing brother and sister to playing a love interest, that's a little odd.
Yeah.
What I think is weirder is when you go from playing a
adult
teacher to a high school student when she's actually How old was she when this movie came out?
Probably 17.
To becoming a love interest in a show, that feels even weirder.
Yeah, like 20 years later, all of a sudden you're like, oh, you're that kid that was my student in that movie we did. Now you're my date.
Which I'm pretty sure Hillary was like, yeah, no, it wasn't weird. But yeah. I feel like it. I mean, I know you guys are professionals.
It might have been more weird if they had, like, kept in touch.
Yeah.
And were, like, family friends or something. Then it would probably be more weird.
Which I don't think he would have auditioned for the show, had that been the case, truthfully.
Probably not.
Anyway.
It is strange, though.
Did How I Met Your Father get canceled?
I don't know.
I never watched it. I just heard about that and was weirded out.
We cut to another montage. It's not really a montage. It's a jam sesh of all these eclectic looking musicians. And then there's Robin.
And her friend who are just singing. Ooh, 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 yeah.
And then we
I
want to
know that guy in the background with the green hair. I want to know his story.
We also see a lot of cultural appropriation because it's the early 2000s. Jay is checking out Terry. Robin notices and she's like, what the fuck you looking at, Jay?
Which, gonna be honest, look at Hillary. Look at her beautiful smile.
I know, she's gorgeous.
I'd be checking around too.
We also see Kat Dennings' character, Sloane. And Terry tries to sit next to her and then she just kind of walks off. So she's a bit antisocial. Same.
Who is able to identify this note? Wow, two voices came out of me.
Yeah, that was terrifying.
Do it that way, that way.
Okay, so we have this Russian professor. Is he Russian? I don't know.
He's Russian to get her out of there. Sorry.
And I guess he like expects all of his students to have perfect pitch, which is so unrealistic. What the fuck is wrong with
you? It's like you can have good relative pitch.
But he's like, you will know each note by heart by the time you're done with this class.
You know what's crazy that I've never noticed? There are so many people with colored hair.
I know, that's what I'm saying. That's why I said eclectic looking people. Everyone's got colored hair.
Eclectic.
Even Jay has like bleached.
He does. He's got the tips, but they're grown out to the point where you can't call them
frosted.
Frosted tips. Yeah.
We also have Kiwi, who's the drummer character,
keyboard player, drummer.
He's friends with Jay, and he's in love with Sloane.
And he, in real life, is dead.
Yeah, he's dead
after he murdered an old woman.
Yes, it's very sad.
So that also makes this movie sad.
You can Google it.
Look it up, folks. Katy Perry, I think, was involved with him. Wasn't she?
I have no idea.
Wasn't that a thing?
Maybe.
I can't remember.
You just started a rumor. You don't even know if it's true.
I gotta look it up.
Ari will look that up while I continue.
Let me fact check myself.
Terry is talking to Denise. Because Denise, they haven't really bonded that much. Denise says, don't take it personally that I'm standoffish. I'm just here. I'm focused on getting this scholarship because I need it. I need the money. And I'm like, yeah, cool with me. So then we have Mr. Torvald's class. Robin, it seems, was a class favorite previously because she and Mr. Torvald have this weird little handshake thing that they do, which is kind of strange. Why are you doing that with just one of your students? That's weird to me. Then Terry goes to a voice lesson with the Russian professor who we will not know his name. I don't think they ever mention it.
I can probably figure it out.
And she's going to sing Caro Mio Ben, which I also had to sing. And he's...
Mr. Wesson? Yeah.
All right, cool. Oh, wait, I think she might say it later, right? When she's like, Mr. Wesson, I really practiced hard on this, and I'd like to try it. So he's teaching her breath support, telling her it's okay to look fat.
Amazing.
He's like, stick your gut out, bitch. Get your air in your diaphragm. Then... Terry is walking through, she's like, wow, Sloane is a great piano player. And then she walks in on the rehearsal room and Sloane's like, get the fuck out. But she doesn't say that. But she says it with her eyes. And Terry's like, I'm sorry, you just sound so good. Then she leaves. There's a lot of these scenes are short, huh? There's not a lot of like long scenes.
Okay.
You've got the story? Okay.
He dated Katy Perry from 2005 to 2006.
Okay.
He died in 2012 though, so they had broken up. They'd been broken up for 6 years before the whole...
Right.
And he bludgeoned his landlady and her cat to death.
Right.
Before falling off the roof of her house.
Yeah. And I think he was very, very high. If I remember right.
Yeah.
So.
Isn't that fun, guys? Isn't that a fun fact?
Yeah. What a fun, fun time. Terry is walking around town by herself. Once again, I can't blame the dad for being worried about her just walking around by herself in LA.
Yeah.
That's kind of wild. She's got no one with her.
However, these two guys playing guitar here do make me think of Mary-Kate and Ashley's hit classic, When in Rome.
Wait, why? They're all underage, no?
Yeah.
So why would they be allowed to just have free range? I don't care if it's a summer program. You wouldn't be allowed to just walk around town unsupervised, no? Why do you keep doing that?
Are you Italian? What is going on? At the end of every sentence, no?
I'm trying to interact with you.
Right? No?
Well, excuse me.
Hilary Duff has bleached hair here, no?
What's wrong with that? What's wrong with what I'm saying?
It's just funny. I have never noticed you doing that.
Okay.
You say no at the end of every sentence to check in?
I don't know. I didn't realize I was doing it.
He died, didn't he? No?
Shut the fuck up.
You're going to notice it. Anyway, I wouldn't assume so, Mel. I wouldn't assume that you need permission to leave.
Interesting. Okay.
I'd assume it's like a college situation.
They're not college age, so.
I know they're
minors.
Not.
They're minors. I just don't get it. There's no.
Here's the thing. Whatever. Here's the thing. I've never been to a Bristol Hillman type of thing. And I would assume like a Blue Lake thing, you go to a campground. You're not like in dorms in a city.
Okay, wait. But there should at least be an RA then. And there's not. That you'd have to check in and they check your room to make sure you're there. Like Miss Ungermeyer in Lizzie McGuire movie.
This
is true.
This could also be their lunch and they could have off-campus free reign.
I guess. Well, actually, you might be right because the scene prior to this, it's Kiwi getting lunch and he's trying to impress Sloane.
Right.
All right. So then she comes across Jay while she's walking around town.
No.
Shut the fuck up. And then very shortly after that, we run into Denise and Jay darts off and he's like, oh, I'll catch you later. Denise is like, watch out for that guy because he's a player. Or she insinuates that he's a player. Then Terry goes and watches this great performance of Denise in like a, are they in a train station?
Yes.
Train station, and she's playing violin, but she's hooked it up to an amp.
They're in a train station, no?
Did I say that?
No.
My God, you have me self-conscious about it now. Fuck you. So I was like, I didn't even realize I said it. Now I'm trying not to say it.
No.
You've ruined everything. Okay. No. So Terry gets a call during this amazing performance. She runs outside and it's her dad / mom. And they're like, oh, honey, just wanting to check in on you. And then police sirens come by. And the dad's like, what the fuck was that? She says, oh, I think Aunt Nina's neighbor, something happened with their alarm. I'm going to go check it out. And then she hangs up on them, which is like the worst thing ever. Why would she do that? Why wouldn't she just say, I don't know, I think police sirens just went by the house.
I do think that she just wanted to get off the phone with her dad because she can't lie.
Yeah, she's a terrible liar.
I can't lie.
Yeah, she's made it very obvious she's a terrible liar. Yeah, now we're rehearsing Messiah with I almost said Dr. Torvald. He's not a doctor.
This guy with the mustache is kind of cute. Never noticed him in the background.
You're like, I'm going to find out who
he's
that
got
is.
He's got his arm around a girl. Ooh, I want to know their story. I want to know.
And she's not hitting the notes.
And then Mr. Torvald goes, where's the girl from the DVD?
Yeah, because we didn't mention this, but earlier he had said, right, Terry, the DVD girl, right?
The girl from the DVD.
So then he says, like, where's the lively girl that I saw on the DVD? She says, I sent in a CD. I don't know what you're talking about. So then he plays the DVD that Ariana parodied for my birthday.
And the way that John Corbett says DVD, we also got a DVD.
He's great.
I love him.
Love him too.
If you guys haven't watched My Big Fat Greek Wedding,
yeah,
he's 10 out of 10 that. Recommend.
I'm pretty sure he's a liked character in Sex and the City, but I could be wrong.
He's a liked character in To All the Boys I've Loved Before, which isn't hard. It's not hard because most of the characters aren't great.
So
they're better than the Kissing Booth character.
So he plays the DVD. It's Paul. He's like,
Terry's sobbing.
Yeah, Terry's crying while she's watching this beautiful video that her brother put together for her application.
And here's my favorite thing about Terry Fletcher. When she's sad, and she's crying, she'll run to her room and immediately go for the towels.
She runs, she opens up that closet door, grabs not just one, grabs a whole handful of towels, and starts crying into them.
Could she go right for the Kleenex box that's next to her bed?
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely she could. But why would she do that when she could be dramatic and pick up a washcloth?
Yeah, nothing's as fluffy as a towel or a washcloth.
And you know what? I gotta start trying that.
Yeah. So she's running, crying, and Jay sees her. Of course. He's such a nosy Nelly.
Tari! Also, here's the thing. He's like aggressively British in this.
He's more British than he needs to be.
He's more British than he is in What a Girl Wants when he's in Britain. It's a little crazy.
He's asking her what's wrong. She ended up breaking Paul's cross necklace.
Well, here's the thing.
Because she was so upset.
My favorite, least favorite line delivery is she goes, how do I know you won't walk away? And he goes, or no, he says, the bag's not walking, which is, he's wearing a bag on his back.
But hold on, you're skipping the part where he's trying to get her to tell him what's wrong.
And then he goes, the bag's not walking. And she goes, how do I know you won't? And can I just say, if a man said to me, the bag's not walking, I'd be like, take the bag off, you look ridiculous. He's got a backpack with a guitar on his butt.
We cut to her telling Jay the whole story of her brother dying in a car accident. And
she trauma dumps.
Yeah. And he says, it's not your fault. It was a horrible accident. An idiot ran a red light. It's just bad timing.
Yeah. That's an all. Idiot in a semi truck. You're not going to look at me and tell me that it wasn't in a semi truck.
No, it was maybe a truck, but not a semi truck.
I'm pretty sure it was a semi.
If it was a semi, I think they'd both be dead. There's no way, Ariana. I just don't see that being true.
I feel like
it is. All you see are the film engine production logo headlights.
I don't think that's true. Where was this film? Do we look this up? Santa Monica? Santa Barbara?
I think it's Santa Monica. At least this here looks like Santa Monica, even though I've never been.
This looks like Santa Monica, no?
Shut up. So they're walking. Jay honestly looks like a douchebag with this outfit.
Mel, he looks like a douchebag in any outfit. He's always got his button up tucked into his belt.
But he has those like light, they're sunglasses, but
like
they're
the burnt orange.
Yeah, but they're not even sunglasses.
Oh, they're blue. They're blue.
Yeah, it looks so douchey. And he's got like the puka necklace on. I don't want to.
He walked out of a 90s catalog in the early 2000s and thought we wouldn't notice.
And while on the beach, he's like, I like you. I like hanging out with you. And she says, what about Robin? And he's like, we actually broke up. Yeah, he's like, we actually broke up last summer. She just seems to not have let it go.
And then he puts his arm around her.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be trusting this guy. Maybe I've got issues, but.
We have a pivotal scene, but we'll be back. We've got a pivotal scene coming up. Ariana can't believe we're here.
That's why I
guess. We'll be back. Hi, I'm Trudy.
And my name is Joseph Trudy, but you can just call me Trudy. And you're listening to QVC, HSN, NBC, ABC, DFJ.
Guess what?
What?
I've got a new product.
She's got a new product.
I've got a new product. A product, a product, a product. A product, a product, a product, a product.
A product, a product, a product.
Okay, you're taking it too far. It's an outlet. You know what that is?
Like, of course you don't,
because it's fresh off the market.
An outlet mall.
No, it's an outlet. Like, you put it around your plugs.
What?
You know your plugs in the wall? You can have an outlet for that. It protects you from electrocuting yourself.
I electrocute myself daily because exactly. I don't have his outlet.
Exactly. Well, now there's this new invention called an outlet. I guess it's more of like an outlet cover.
Why do they call it an outlet?
I don't know.
Well, you should have done more research than it would appear.
Well, research is not my forte.
Did we ever find Fred?
I don't know. He's MIA as far as I'm concerned.
He's changed his name to Mia?
No. Missing in action. Oh, it's a military term, but somehow it's transferred over to just regular conversation. Now, the outlet protects your little fingies from getting the little sharpsy-shootsies from the electricano lightning.
The sharpsy-shooties.
Huh? The sharpy-shooties from the electricano lightning.
You've been electrocuted, no?
Yeah, I have. Only once. And it was when I was 5. So clearly, it did not affect my development at all. It did not affect me in any way whatsoever. So the outlet, it's also to protect your babies. You've got about 8 babies, right?
I don't have any babies.
Oh. Why did I think you had 8 babies? Oh, that was John and Kate plus 8. Oh, that's right. I love that show.
Do you really? They're divorced.
It's so fucking messy. I love it. Yeah, I love it. Love, love, love it. Yeah, so you keep protect your baby's fingies from getting in there.
How much does it cost, Rudy? Come on.
I think it's like, 20,000.
20,000, that's not much.
For each screw. I forgot to mention there's hardware involved. And then it's like 800,000.
For each screw, I feel like there's one screw. I'm looking at the product right in front of me. And I think there's
one. Well, if you want to get a replacement, it's another 20,000.
All right. And then for the actual cover, how much is that?
Well, that's like 800,000. It's cheap.
Oh, that's so inexpensive. Yeah. What is the shipping on this?
I don't fucking know.
Free shipping, maybe?
I'm not a shipping doctor.
Pretense, is it free?
No, it's not free. We don't have any promo codes. What do you think we are? We just got back.
I think we're ready and ready.
Yeah, exactly. That's not saying much. So, yeah, that's the product. I don't know. Do you have any questions on it?
I already asked my questions. You answered them pretty well from what you know.
I think you can clean it with spit from a vampire that was turned in the year 1812.
Okay.
But it has to be that
year.
So
not too difficult to find.
Yeah. Otherwise, it'll just be infected. You can't disinfect it with anything other than that. Remember this, the spit of a vampire who was turned in 1812. Not born in 1812, they have to have been turned. When they got the little fangies in the neck in 1812, that is the spit that you need.
Did you say fangies or fingies?
Fangies. That's for the vampires. Fingies are for the babies. When will you get it, Drudy? What is so fucking confusing about that?
Why did you just call me Drudy?
What? I called you Drudy.
You called me.
No, I didn't. Don't you gaslight me into this. I'm fucking going back to the podcast. God.
Maybe this is the wrong episode to divulge this information because it's already going to be a long episode. But Drudy and Trudy first started when Melissa and I were like the first iteration of Drudy and Trudy. Started when Melissa and I were like 10 or 11.
Yeah.
As Martha Brown.
Yeah, which was a made up TV host. That
she was a Dr. Phil-esque character.
Right. Martha Stewart / Dr. Phil, where she was like a family therapist, but she had a talk show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I just want you guys to know that fun fact. And then it evolved into the QVC thing on a road trip when we were in high school.
Yeah. It started out as us being like, I'm Dr. Martha Brown. Yeah. And then somehow it turned into where it was like a QVC type show.
But we both talk like this.
I think so.
Honestly, were like this.
I'm not even sure if Drudy and Trudy, I know Trudy for sure was, but was Drudy a thing yet?
No. Drudy came out of when we were trying to figure out what we were going to do as a podcast.
Yeah.
And we were like, what if we did like our QVC thing that we did on the road trip, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, because the idea, I think even then we were doing ads for products that already exist.
Yeah, but I couldn't remember what my character's name was. Trudy just stood out. So then we were like, well, we got to come up with a name that rhymes.
That's right, yeah. Maybe it was like just Trudy and Martha Brown. No?
Trudy and Martha?
Maybe? I just did it again. Fuck. I said no again.
I didn't even catch that one.
Now I can't stop noticing it. I hate you.
It's
all your fucking fault.
I had never noticed it before.
Oh my God, I hate myself. Okay.
No, don't Stone Angels.
Let's get back into the movie. We have the probably the most iconic scene from the whole movie.
Everybody shut up. Oh wait, you can't hear it.
Should I yeah. unmute it and you guys will just listen to this. I don't know how loud it'll be on the podcast.
Just listen.
Okay, but we have to get to the part.
We can explain it. They're auditioning. They're basically going through
auditioning for solos in The Messiah.
Yeah.
Okay, here we go.
Everybody
ready?
Shut up. I have no idea if that registered at all.
If you didn't hear any of that, I hope you enjoyed that 12-second silence. If you only caught like snippets of it, again, I apologize, but oh my God.
I'm going to say just watch the movie.
Yeah, watch the movie. You'll get the best scene ever of Hillary, who is singing maybe 20% of that. And the rest,
maybe
I think,
less.
Is the rest, I think, is Haley, I believe.
I think so.
And it sounds nothing like Hillary.
La, 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 la.
Okay, anyway, and then it ends with like Hillary's more bright tone and she goes, hey, yeah, yeah, yeah. And you're like, okay,
that's the only part that was Hillary.
Because you're like, okay, that is Hillary. What the fuck is the rest of this? And everyone's like, yeah.
She killed that.
But if I heard someone singing like that, I'd be like, what is happening to your voice?
I'd be going, that's so unhealthy. What are you doing?
Yeah. What is this effect you're putting on your voice as you sing?
Here's what's hilarious to me. Everybody's cheering for her, right? Everybody's like, yes, Terry, you got it. Like, you're killing it. Terry, you've hit your second win. And Mr. Torvald's like, yeah, all right, you take the top of the fourth. And Robin, who's in front of her, goes, awesome. Why, Robin?
Would she think he was talking to her?
Would he be talking to you?
Because she's self-centered. But then he does the little handshake thing with Terry. Now Robin's pissed.
She's jelly.
And Terry feels a new confidence in her ability.
I have confidence.
She goes to her voice lesson with Mr. Wesson, and he's trying to get her to do a different number, and she's arguing, I'd really like to still try Caro Mio Ben. And she does it, and she impresses him. He can tell that she's been practicing and has a new confidence in her singing, and she's feeling good. And I'm feeling good. Oh, and then we get a great scene with Jay playing the piano. Terry walks in and he is singing, you and me, can't you see?
Our hearts
are one.
Please believe.
And don't deceive.
Now our journey's just begun. What happened? And here's the thing. What happened to Oliver James' singing career? He sings in What a Girl Wants.
Yeah.
He sings in this movie.
Yeah, I don't know. Did he ever come out with an album?
What?
Did he ever come out with an album?
I don't think so.
All right. Well,
sorry, my headphones were like crackling. I don't think he ever came out with an album. And it's a crime.
Terry is asking him to play
Do Re Mi.
What is happening in this scene?
She's asking him to play Wonderwall.
No, she's not.
No, she wants him to keep playing the song, but he's self-conscious. He's a little insecure boy. And then she like wants him to sing to her.
Yeah, I think he's like, I have the...
Get him off! Why did you sit there and do nothing? What the fuck is wrong with you?
It was your turn.
I don't care. Now there's a problem. There's a problem.
Guys, this podcast is off the rails. That was Pacey. He stepped on the keyboard.
Pacey stepped onto the laptop.
And it was Melissa's turn.
Beep, 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 beep.
It was Melissa's turn to scold him. I just scolded him.
And I'm sitting there looking at Ariana.
Well, I'm taking a sip of my drink.
He's closer to you, though. You could have easily just picked him
up. Look at me. We're the same distance away from this laptop.
No, right? We're not.
Yes, we are. Put your arm out. We are the same distance.
Whatever.
Anywho. I was getting a sip of my beverage.
Okay.
Have fun editing this.
Yeah, I'm sure I will. So Terry, he says something like he can't get the... He has the lyrics, but not the music? Or is it the other way around? I don't know. But she ends up helping him write his song. Then they're like BFFs now. They're going to hang out all the time. So now they're hanging out at lunch. And Kiwi's with them. And he's talking about how much he loves Sloan. And Terry says, I could set you up on a date. Like, let's set you up. And then Kiwi's like, I love this girl. Terry then visits Sloane in her practice room, and Sloane is already not about this. But she says, hey, my friend Kiwi, do you know him? And at first she's like, Kiwi's a weird name. And Terry says, well, yeah, he really likes you, and I think it'd be fun if we all went out on like a double date. So Sloane reluctantly agrees. Then I think she also talks to Denise about possibly hanging out, because they end up hanging out later too, and there was a scene there. But she gets a call from Aunt Nina saying, your father's on his way, he's worried. Which, why is he on his way? Why? What would have, just because of the police sirens from the other day?
Maybe. Can I be honest though? I can't say that mom or dad wouldn't do, like dad would do this to me.
If you were with an aunt and there were police sirens?
If you were close enough.
I don't think
and
so.
And I were gone for long enough.
You would just call the aunt and say, hey, is everything all right?
I guess you're right.
But the relationship is different.
Yeah.
Either way, Terry ends up getting back to her Aunt Nina's house in time.
In the nick of time, really. It's kind of a nail biter for a second there.
Yeah, it's real thrilling.
Like, no. And then she comes back and she says that she walked into a closet to go pee.
Yeah,
that's a fun thing that happened.
What a fun fact you've put in.
I didn't put it in. The writers of this movie.
I know. You decided to mention a throwaway line.
Don't have throwaway lines if they're not important.
So now we're at the double date. Sloane is overdressed. And
I'd say they're underdressed. Because when Terry shows up, she's pretty dressed up. Not quite as dressed up as Sloane.
That's what I'm saying. Sloane's dressed up for like a ball.
But sometimes people,
I think that's fine.
Have things.
I know, but I think it's fine. She just feels embarrassed because she thinks she's overdressed. Whereas everyone else is, you know, more casual or... But yeah, Terry does have the dress she borrowed from Denise. They're walking around town, and Terry's talking about her escape plan, like you said, about being in a closet.
Okay.
And then they go downtown Los Angeles.
It gets darker, and I want to just say something, and this is embarrassing. I'm going to be bearing my soul here for a minute.
Okay.
This is a little embarrassing.
What?
The song that they sing.
Yeah.
I did not realize was a legitimate song.
Oh, you didn't?
Until I started working at N&W.
Oh, and you heard it over the radio?
Came on. Because it's Bob Marley, isn't it?
I think so.
And I did not know that.
Yeah, Terry is singing. Denise is out playing violin. And she's trying to get the rest of the group to sing with her. They eventually all gather around and sing. Then we have weird slow motion where a mime shows up.
With sparklers.
It's a bit of an acid trip.
He's on a unicycle? Or is he just walking around?
He's just walking around.
All right.
And Sloane appears to be having a good time. You know, she's still reserved, but she's loosening it up and they're having fun. And the mime is having the most fun of them all.
They're performing in front of a fountain, too. I don't know if you mentioned that.
I didn't, but it is just...
There's a lot going on in this scene. And what's crazy is that it just goes into slow motion with... a score playing, so we're not even hearing. Oh, here he comes.
I think it's supposed to be like, here's the magic of music and how it brings people together.
Billy.
Including the mime. I don't know.
The mime continuity is crazy in this scene, too.
Yeah, I think
he's in front of him. He's behind him. Where is there two of them? Is there 600? Is he Is he regenerating over and over again? What is this?
But I
think the mime was an odd touch, no matter how you splice it.
It was. I think they're trying to be like, here's the magic of downtown LA and anything can happen. We cut to the rooftop where Terry and Jay are, I honestly don't know what they're talking about.
Jerry?
Did I say Jerry?
Tay? No, I'm trying to come up with what would their ship name be?
Oh my God. You had me thinking I said Jerry and Tay.
I said Terry, no.
Fuck off. Well, they end up slow dancing because there's a saxophone playing. And then he tries to kiss her and she kind of turns her head. Yeah, sexy music. She turns her head and I guess she just is saying like she's not ready yet. Then they keep dancing. And then like 2 seconds later, she's like, you want to try that again?
Yeah.
She was like, I'm not ready. And then like 2 seconds later, I mean,
God
you know.
Bless her.
It's like, you know what? I mean, to each their own. But it is kind of funny where she's like, I'm not ready. Because he says too fast. So then I guess it just took like, you know, about 5 more seconds of dancing for it to go to go register through. I don't know. Oh, they're talking about partnering up for the showcase and writing a song together and performing. And she says, okay, that sounds like a good idea. Then she says, do you want to try that again?
Which
and
is, you know what? Her. I can't blame her. He said, I want to sing with you. I'd like that.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't know if it would convince me.
Yeah.
But
it's,
she's
it's
a teenager.
Cute. It's cute, I guess.
She's 16. Let her kiss the boy on top of the roof with no supervision because I have not seen a single teacher outside of the school.
So now they're like dating. They're walking around being cute together, writing songs.
Robin's
laughing.
Pissed.
Robin's pissed. Then they go to open mic night where TJ Thine is the MC.
Ah, my baby Hodgins. If you guys haven't watched Bones, go watch Bones.
And I think Jay is trying to get her out of her comfort zone. He says, let's go perform our song.
And by doing, he's not getting her out of her comfort zone. He's forcing her out of her comfort zone.
Yeah, a bit.
And she was clearly not ready. She has a panic attack on stage because the spotlight moves in such a way that
it gives her trigger of the flashing headlights.
This is a common theme for Terry. Never put a flashlight in her face.
Yeah, don't put any flashing lights in her face.
Honestly, don't put any flashing lights in anybody's face. You could blind someone. Freaks.
So she runs off stage because at first she's singing, but she's got her back turned to the audience.
And
they're
she's
like,
singing really quietly.
Turn around. Sing.
We don't want to look at your butt. No one wants to see you double-cheeked up on a Thursday afternoon. Turn around.
Why are you still going? Do you know that Eminem wrote a song that mentions Hillary Duff's ass?
Exactly. Nobody wants to see that hill.
She does have an iconic ass. I'm pretty sure it's
But that's
it's
what
in
I'm
the...
saying is I think it's weird that they're like, turn around, we want to see your lips when you sing.
That's just because they're not being creepy, thank God. They totally could have been.
Hey, nobody wants to see your caboose.
Okay, you're getting ridiculous now. As if you weren't before. Anyway, Jay runs out and he shows her that he fixed Paul's cross necklace and then she kisses him and she hugs him. And
nobody
that's the end of that scene.
Nobody wants to see your BBL. Turn around.
Oh my God, Ariana, shut up.
What's another word? I'm trying to think of more butt synonyms.
I don't know. Let's move on.
No, I'm going to look up more butt synonyms. I'll be over here if you need me.
Great. Terry is sleeping in. I think she's still kind of shook from trying to sing and failing and running off, and she's kind of scared now. So she skips class. Mr. Torvald's like, I really want to go over the fourth part with Terry solo. Robin says, I can take the solo. And then she has a breakdown in the class because Mr. Torvald's like, Terry's worked hard for this and she deserves it. And she's like, I deserve this part. And everyone else is like, what the fuck, Robin? And then she runs off because she's so upset that she doesn't have the solo. Ariana's still looking up butt synonyms.
Nobody wants to see your derriere.
Then
nobody wants to see your tuchus.
Okay, Ari. Then Jay comes across Robin, and Robin's having a fit with the vending machine. And he says, what's the matter? And then she takes him off to a different room to talk about her feelings. I don't know. Then Terry shows up and says, I'm really sorry that I was late to class. And Mr. Torvald's like, oh, were you sick? And he's like, if you're not going to take this seriously, I don't even know what you're doing here.
Guys, and I'm so sorry. A synonym for butt is duff.
Oh, my God.
Hillary, we don't want to see your Also,
I've never heard anyone say that before, though.
Also, Fanny and Patootie and Heine and Anus were the other ones that really stuck out to me.
But anus is the actual butthole part. It's not even the Hillary, full butt.
Hillary, nobody wants to see your anus. Put it away. It's like, pull your pants up, you loser.
She'd have to have her pants down and be bending over for you to see her anus.
Hillary, we put a belt on. Oh my God. We can see your anus.
Okay, enough.
I'm having too much fun. I will say, this Robin red shirt, iconic.
I'm going to throw this remote at you.
No?
Yes, it is. Terry runs off because Mr. Torvald was like, you have to actually show up to class, bitch. And she's all upset about that. So she's running off. She's trying to go find Jay to talk to him about it. And then we cut to Robin talking to Jay about how she misses how they were last summer. And then she kind of like weirdly seduces him. And
while playing the piano.
While playing the piano, tickling the ivories.
Yeah, she... In every sense of the word, it's tickling the ivories.
Yeah, exactly. And then she kisses him, and I'm going to be honest, he does let the kiss go on for quite a bit.
Yeah.
And enough for Terry to walk in and then see them kissing, and then she runs off, and where does she go? Straight for the towels.
Oh, I'm sorry, did you want me to finish that?
Well, you could have if you wanted to, but you don't have to.
She does.
Right, and she goes for the towels?
She...
No. Wait, does she go for the towels?
Not this time.
She goes for the towels another time.
She goes for the notebook. And she Nope. Towels.
She's going for it.
You're right.
She goes for the towels.
Then she goes for the notebook.
And she tears out all the songs that they've written.
Yeah.
And she's upset.
And here's the thing. Is that why you're so pumped over there? Mel just like literally broke the couch.
I love this song.
Like, dude, this song is lit.
It's so good.
You guys ever heard of the band Keen? I'm gonna be honest, this whole soundtrack is great for this movie. What I was gonna say is, what's funny is that never mind, it's a spoiler. I'll tell you later.
All of that for that.
So, you're just mad because you wanted to talk about Keen.
I do. The song. Wait, what's the song?
We might as well be strangers, you doofus.
It's because in my head,
you were thinking Somewhere Only We Know.
No, I was thinking, I wake up, it's a bad dream. Do you know that Keen song?
No.
Okay, well, fuck you.
We Might As Well Be Strangers by Keen starts playing.
It's great.
And it's a montage, baby.
It's so good.
It's a montage of Terry being sad and single.
She's
and honestly,
sad.
Relatable.
This brown shirt with like the greenish pants that she's wearing, I'm pretty
very 2000s.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure I tried to replicate that exact outfit as a child. Because I was like, gotta look like Hillary. Got to. Then we get more montage of her walking under docks, and she goes to church and she's praying, and Jay won't leave her alone. He's trying to explain himself.
And every time he approaches her, he's kind of drunk.
Yeah, he's been drinking his sorrows away.
Oh, but then.
Then he shows up. Where were you going with this?
When the heck does she meet Corbett on the stairs?
Oh, you might be right.
She talks to John Corbett.
Yeah.
Teacher to student. And he's got his hair half up, half down, which is quite a sleigh.
Yeah. He looks so attractive.
I know. I can't blame them for casting him in How I Met Your Father. I just think it's a little weird that she's his love interest.
And I think this is actually a really nice scene where he's talking to her.
He's like the father figure that we all need.
Yeah, or like a cool uncle.
Yeah, a kunkle.
And then, then he's
another. That's another synonym for butt.
He's talking to her. Is it really?
No.
Oh my God. She has a really nice conversation with
her papa,
Mr. Torvald. Where he is She says something like, have you ever lost anyone? And she's talking about how it's really difficult. She doesn't know if she can handle the loss of her brother. They're kind of speaking in vague terms, but he's saying you feel things deeply because you're an artist and you feel things differently than someone who's not an artist would feel. And you put all of that into your work and into your singing and your music. And it's like this nice little inspiring talk they have about it's not a bad thing to feel all those things so deeply, and that it's actually good to use it and express it in a healthy way, like through art. Then Jay shows up, drunk at the door. Denise is like, get him the fuck out of here, please. I'm trying to sleep, bitch. And Terry says, yeah, let's get you to the rooftop.
Because that's smart.
Yeah.
Where can we take a drunk guy?
Let's have it be on the rooftop where you could stumble and fall off the fucking building. Jay is apologizing. He's saying, oh, I feel worthless. I wasn't kissing her. She was kissing me.
She was kissing me.
And then
she was kissing me.
Terry's just like, okay, let's just shut the fuck up and go to sleep. So then he sleeps and she stays out there on the rooftop. And then it's morning, the sun's rising. And Fly plays, which is, I think Fly might be my favorite Hilary Duff song.
Do you know what mine is? It's also in this movie.
Oh, Someone's Watching Over Me?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But specifically this version.
Yeah.
With the, oh.
Yeah.
Which we will have to listen to after we're done with this podcast.
She tells him to wake up. She's like, hey.
On you're a Saturday not- night.
On a Saturday night. Yeah. She says something like, you're not forgiven yet, but I'll at least talk to you now.
Which is crazy.
So eventually they get back on track and they start writing songs together again. Meanwhile, Simon Fletcher,
Simone,
Terry's dad, finds an invitation to her Bristol Hillman showcase performance and he loses it.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah, then Terry and Jay are trying to write a new song for the showcase, which will eventually be Someone's Watching Over Me.
Which is my favorite song.
Terry's mom and dad are fighting.
Paul wanted her to go.
Yeah, and Rita Wilson is crying, saying,
it's tough.
Listen, what did you want us to do? You were never going to let her go. She wanted to go. Paul wanted her to go. Why can't you just be proud of her? And then we cut to
Sloan and Kiwi getting dirty.
Sloan and Kiwi like really are into each other now. They are fucking
off
in the music room.
Getting kinky with the keyboard.
And after that, it's the showcase.
Oh, and we're backstage and what has happened? Terry has forgotten her necklace.
She doesn't have Paul's cross. So she's got to run back to her dorm room.
And here's what's hilarious. When we get to her dorm room, who is there?
The dad.
Correct. What is he doing?
Is he taking her towels out?
Yes. It's the only thing he grabs is her towels.
It's the only prop they know how to get in that room.
I think it might be the only actual physical prop that they have.
It's just towels in there.
Also, how many towels does she have?
I don't know.
It's a summer program. You don't need that many. See, there they are.
You're right.
The towels.
He's taking her towels out. That's hilarious. Okay. Also, this is like interstitial. So she's running to her dorm room, arguing with her dad. And in between this, we're seeing performances of the other students. So Robin goes first. She's singing her song.
And honestly, this is the best I've, like, the most likable Robin is. That the whole movie is right in this.
Yeah, like her performing.
2 minute clip.
Yeah. And then what is Kiwi's actual name?
Edward.
Edwin. Something weird. It's, I don't know.
Yeah, because Edward and Edwin are super weird.
Yeah, they're really weird. What weird, weird names.
It's like Paul Giamatti.
What the fuck, Aaron? Okay.
What's his name? Grover?
That's from Percy Jackson.
Or Sesame Street.
Oh, it's Egbert or something like that, right?
Hubert.
He performs his like drumming / keyboard. Yeah, and everyone's like, yeah, man.
Like, yeah, he's getting into it. You know what, though?
It's not really that good, though. I'm going to be honest.
All right. I was going to say at like a rave, he would be popular.
Sure. But I don't, it's people not going to win the showcase.
Electric Forest, people are thriving.
Yeah, but he's not going to win this showcase. I'd say the weakest performance.
Least
when,
likely.
When we have Sloan doing like professional piano, Denise doing professional violin.
Listen.
So Terry is arguing with Simon.
She's trying to convince her papa to let her do this stupid showcase.
And he keeps arguing with her. And then finally she convinces him. She says, I've worked so hard.
I'm really good. Like, I want you to listen, actually.
And it's also, she, for the longest time this summer, wanted to give up on singing. And she's decided not to give up. And she really wants her dad to hear her sing.
So I won't give up.
So she convinces him. And also we had an awesome Denise performance.
And John Corbett loves Denise.
Yeah, he loves her. Even though he has not taught her at all, but he's like, she's cool.
But I think he's like, she reminds me of me. Yeah. Because he kicked over his chair.
Yeah, and she kicked her leg.
Can I be honest? Denise might have done that on purpose to get his vote.
Probably.
She said, that's it.
Then Jay, he is like, I don't know where Terry is. They're up. And he's starting to go to the director saying, hey, I don't think we're going to be able to do it because Terry's missing. She's not here. And the director starts to say it, but then Terry ends up showing up. And Hillary's outfit, she's got the big, thick 2000s belt that was a wraparound that did not hoop. Sorry. It didn't hook or loop into anything. It was just a wraparound belt. And I just don't know anything that dates it better than that, right?
And then we get this wonderful cinematic shot where Terry looks into the light.
And she doesn't get triggered.
She sees Paul. And instead of letting that trigger her and instead of letting that scare her, she uses it to fuel her love and her passion for music.
Like she talked about with Mr. Torvald.
Exactly.
About feeling deeply. Then she dedicates this song to her brother.
To Paul Fletcher.
And then they start singing Someone's Watching Over Me, which is such a great song. Love it. Nina tells the mom and dad to come sit next to her at the showcase. They sit there and the dad's watching her sing and he gets tears in his eyes. It's very beautiful.
And sometime around here is when Melissa and I decided that Aunt Nina and Mr. Torvald
should get together. They'd be such a hot couple.
And we're standing by it.
Yeah, truly, maybe the hottest couple ever.
And you know what I love about this is like for most of the most movies that have songs in them nowadays, like you listen, the song is cut short for the sake of the movie's length, unless it's a musical.
Yeah, this is like a extended version.
This is not only extended, but it's the full song.
Yeah, I love it.
There's a guy with pink hair.
There's people with a lot of colored hair, like we talked about.
Yep. They're all there, all present and accounted for.
And Hillary sounds great. At one point, Mr. Torvald and Mr. Wesson like shake hands like, hey, we really got her to a good point.
We did it.
We got her to open up by the end of this month.
We taught her how to sing and dance and perform.
She's not dancing.
She's literally doing like the most minimal movement.
She is, and she
does. Look at that choreography.
She does squat at the end, though.
And almost falls over, and honestly, me, every time I squat.
Yeah, she's like squatting at the stage and like trying to keep herself up while singing, and so real. Truly. So real, Hillary. And it's great. I love this number. I love the message of the song. Mm-hmm. It's beautiful. And then
it'll
we
make
find
you cry
out
if you're emotional.
Yeah. Then we find out Denise has won the scholarship for
the
showcase.
Denise, she did it.
Rightfully so, because she was the best.
She was. And thank God Kiwi didn't win, because I think we would have had Hubert.
That would have been terrible.
Hubert.
I feel like his name is Egbert or something. I don't know.
Easter Island. That's his.
We cut to the end of the movie. She is with her aunt and mom and dad, and the dad says, Terry, you are right. This is what you're supposed to be doing with your life. I'm so proud of you. And then Mr. Torvald shows up, and our ship for him and Aunt Nina continues as they're in proximity with one another. And I think we gaslit ourselves into, yeah, like, thinking that at some point her and Mr. Torvald are next to each other in this ending scene. They're not. But they never
are. He flirts more with Rita Wilson's character.
Yeah, honestly, I think we were just kind of hoping that she was next to him so that our ship could be real. But I still believe in it.
I do too.
I believe that they were like, hey, you want to come get lunch with our family?
Yeah.
And then 100%. That's when it happens.
But then we sing Walls at the Jericho. The walls will tumble, babe. They will tumble.
Jericho also on
Hillary Engelbert. Duff. Engelbert Wilson.
Okay, Engelbert.
So you weren't far off.
Yeah, so then Hillary's singing Jericho off of her self-titled. I can't speak. Hillary's singing Jericho off her self-titled album. Everyone's jamming. Aunt Nina is not next to Mr. Torvald. What a crime. Absolute crime. They look so hot together. I can't get over it.
Oh, there's a guy with the pink hair.
There's a bunch of people with pink hair.
We've had the same conversation 3 times now.
Yeah, I know, because you keep mentioning
it. I keep mentioning the same guy, and then you keep being like, yeah, they all have it, Ariana. And they don't all have it. There's a lot of them with colored hair, but he specifically.
I do love how awkward, like, the movements that Hillary has while she's singing reminds me of me as a teenager. Like, yeah. I genuinely felt this awkward in my body. Like, I don't know what to do with my hands while I sing. I love it. It reminds me of me.
Yeah.
And she's so cute. And then that's how the movie ends, right?
Yeah.
With everyone singing.
One more word. One more wish.
I think you mixed that up.
I did. One more word. One more wish. It's
one more smile. One more kiss. One more word. One more wish.
Oh, yeah, he whispers to Rita.
Yeah, that's right. Mr. Torvald's like flirting with Rita. What is he doing?
And then and then Nina's like, what did he say to you? He's pretty hot.
Yeah, we're so invested in the adult relationships in the background.
It's like the opposite of Pretty Little Liars, where you don't give a crap about the adults.
Yeah.
In this, we just want the adults to have a love life.
That's all we want. Okay, well,
I need to be vindicated. I feel like they do stand next to each other at some point. I gaslit myself every time we've watched this.
I think you have. She keeps looking at the dad, at Simon, like
they're brother and sister. Oh, and freeze frame. Yep. Yeah. So I gaslight myself every time I watch this movie. And so I have to watch
the crazy. What's your moral of the story?
Oh, man, I forgot about that. Okay. Here's my moral of the story. Are you ready? Don't let the fear of striking out keep you from playing it.
You couldn't even finish it. Sounded like your voice was getting swallowed.
No. My real moral of the story is, don't drink and drive. Don't text and drive, because you could kill a Paul Ritter. A Paul Fletcher.
It's Jason Ritter. Paul Fletcher. Yeah, that's a good moral of the story.
Don't run red lights.
I guess mine would be, if you come across a mime with sparklers near a fountain, make sure you take advantage of that moment
and sing Bob Marley.
Sing with your friends. Make sure you do that. And it has to be a mime with sparklers.
And it has to be a red mime.
If it's a mime without sparklers, don't worry about it.
Red and white stripes, no black and white.
Yeah. And that's my moral of the story.
It's a great moral of the story.
Thank you.
Well, that was an hour of your time. Thank you so much.
Raise your voice. Ramble Room.
Yeah.
La 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 la